Good evening, everyone. My name is Tim. I was married for 12 years, separated 4 years ago, and have been divorced for 2 years now. I have no doubt that all of you at some point, if not right now, have been completely surrounded by people like you are in this room this evening, yet you know what it's like to somehow feel completely and utterly alone. So it is important to understand, as the video pointed out earlier, that loneliness is not the absence of people in our immediate surroundings. It's a feeling, it's a perception, it's a state of mind. And to someone like me, who attempts to rationalize every aspect of the world, who tries to find reason and order and logic so that I can count on life to just make sense, it was beyond confusing for me to be incapable of understanding the seemingly never-ending feelings like loneliness that I endured after my wife and I separated 4 years ago. A little background. I grew up in a strict Christian home. I had a solid foundation of biblical truth, but my faith was shaky, ignorant, and practically invisible. I didn't share it with anyone, and I considered my Bible both a rule book that I didn't have much interest in following, but on the flip side, it was also my insurance policy so that no matter what I did or what would happen, I knew I would end up in heaven. I called my relationship with God private so I could hide it, but also so I could hide from it. When God clearly calls for a very personal relationship with him, but never a private one. My wife and I fell in love when we were very young and married when I was 20 and she was 18. We had our first daughter a year later, our second daughter 2 years after that, and our third daughter 2 years after that. You should be seeing a trend here of the offspring of my family, all girls. We started our family as I was finishing up my service in the Marine Corps, and after I worked my way through college, it was time for me to begin providing a better life for my wife and my kids. Three healthy children by our mid-20s were enough for us. We felt very blessed, and so we did what anyone in that situation would do. We took all of our infant gear, cribs and the swings, and the walkers, and the bumbo seats, and that little vibrating chair that, for some reason, puts them all to sleep. Stacked it up outside, and set it all on fire, and laughed as it turned into a pile of ashes while we toasted goodbye to the season of our lives that included changing diapers and middle-of-the-night feedings. And of course, a couple of years later, we had daughter number four. Our relationship was the strongest I knew of. For seven years into our marriage, friends of ours joked that we still acted like honeymooners. My marriage was my foundation. To me, it was as reliable as any physical law, like gravity. And though I felt us growing apart somewhat near the end, the idea of us not being married in the 12 years that it lasted never even once crossed my mind. So you can imagine my reaction to the two short words she spoke to me that morning 4 years ago, which were very simply, "We're done." It hit me like an atomic bomb, and suddenly it was as if the law of gravity no longer existed, and I was floating away from the earth. I had no idea what was going on, and it took me months to even begin to process my new reality. I moved out of my home and into a small apartment. I went to my new home at night, not to a wife or kids or our dog or purpose, but to silence and regret and despair and loneliness. It was by far the most difficult time of my life. With the utterance of two words, all I had worked for and loved seemed lost, all gone. I was embarrassed and hurt, but 100% determined to work as hard as I could to put the pieces of my marriage back together. So my loneliness was exacerbated because I wanted to fix everything before I had to admit to anyone that I had failed. I didn't tell any colleagues at work. I didn't tell family, not even my parents, until about a year after my separation. And that was only because they live out of state and were coming for a visit, so I wouldn't be able to hide that situation from them any longer. For a very long time, my support system was my daily walk with the Lord and one good godly friend who checked in with me weekly. And I felt very alone. Determined to repair my marriage, determined to show my wife I had changed, determined to be a better father, determined to be who God calls me to be, but still very much alone as I worked through the process of allowing God to fix and heal me. Now, I must preface the following by saying that I in no way absolve my behavior and my decision-making that played a large part in ending my marriage. I was diagnosably depressed, suffered from it for years, and refused to seek any form of treatment. I went through terrible spells that would last for months, and other times of relief when I felt perfectly normal. But every time I suffered in depression, I consciously made bad decisions. And while depression may be part of the reason I made those poor decisions, it's no excuse for me, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. Isolating myself, coping in unhealthy ways, emotionally distancing myself from my wife and my four daughters, leading my family poorly, leading myself poorly, and neglecting my relationship with the Lord. I was selfishly taking advantage of every person who loved me, refusing to get help for myself because I knew I was loved, and that crutch allowed me to fool myself into thinking I could always push fixing my problems off until tomorrow. Throughout all of this, I was well aware that something seemed wrong with me. All of my life, I had this void inside that I could not fill. And like many, I tried filling it the world's way, building a family, pursuing education, a career, material things, always attempting to increase my earthly treasures, which I expected to bring me the ever elusive feelings of happiness, fulfillment, joy, and satisfaction that always seemed absent in my heart. It is clear now that the focus on all these worldly things served only as obstacles that stood in the way of my relationship with God. The void remained, and nothing I could consume or achieve would satisfy it. The answer seems so obvious to me now, yet I resisted it for more than a decade. And as Tammy mentioned last week, only God can fill a God-sized hole. It took the pain of my separation and divorce to break me down to my core. It took shattering my hopes and dreams for my life and the lives of my loved ones. But this process would also ultimately tear down all of those earthly obstacles that stood between me and God so that he would prepare my heart to be restored for a true relationship with him. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not some things, not a few things, not random things, but in all things, God can take something bad and create good out of it. And that includes divorce. For me, he has blessed me with a thirst for reading and understanding the scriptures, which has transformed the way I act, think, and treat others. He has blessed me with godly friends and family for support, which has taught me that he didn't design us to live in isolation and to shoulder all of our burdens alone. He places people in our lives to help us and in time so that we can help others. He has given me the desire to diligently work on restoring my relationships, so I stand here now a better father than I ever was before and probably a better ex-husband than I was a husband. I have learned a lot, am still learning, and have been blessed immensely, but I still had my low points. I cannot tell you that faith in God is some magic potion that fixes all of our afflictions. That if you are experiencing anguish, despondency, regret, anger, remorse, depression, any of the extremely intense and sometimes entirely pervasive and crippling emotions we suffer through, that you just don't have enough faith. That is a lie. Friends, I'm convinced that the spiritual valleys we experience in life, like the ones we are experiencing here and now, are tools God uses to regain our attention and focus on him, and to mold us into the people he wants us and calls us to be. For as these dark valleys break us down, God builds us back up. And we are immeasurably stronger when we stand with Christ as our foundation than we could ever stand on our own. And if you are experiencing or have experienced anything like I've described, I assure you, you are not alone. I think it is normal and expected to experience these types of feelings, to hit rock bottom, and to question everything. but it is what we do after we hit rock bottom that the world would call abnormal and unexpected. It is when we hit bottom, when we are knocked down flat on our backs and have no place else to look but up, that we see and understand the saving grace and power of Jesus Christ. We see that this Bible isn't a rule book or an insurance policy, but an offer from our Creator who loves us. And we can know with certainty that we are never truly alone. His hand is always reached out to ours. We need only to grab hold. As I wrap my time up, I want to express that feelings like loneliness are very real. They are just not reliable. Feelings changed. God's truth does not. I can say with confidence and from experience that by placing your hope, faith, and trust in Christ, you can and will get through this difficult time. And so, though I desire for my story tonight to provide some measure of comfort and hope for you so that you may leave here feeling better, it is more important that I leave you with God's eternal truth, which is very plainly, you are not alone. Just a few examples. In Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you." In Joshua 1:5, he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And in Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "I am with you always." Knowing this truth, I look to and find comfort in what Paul writes to the Roman church again in chapter 8. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us." Not even worth comparing. That blows me away every time I read it. "If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, we will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And if I may expound on Paul's words so as not to leave any doubt for anyone in this room tonight, not even marital strife or separation or divorce, not depression or anxiety or despair or even loneliness. Thanks be to God for what he has done for me, for what he can do for you, and thank you all for your time.